Based on the questions that I've received over the past few years, it occurs to me that many actors still seem to be hanging on to the misconceptions and untrue claims about being an actor. So let's clear the air on some of these weird untruths so that we can launch the new year with a realistic perspective and clear-eyed understanding of acting and being an actor in 2021. On this episode of Casting Actors Cast.
This is Casting Actors Cast. Each episode takes you behind the scenes and answers your questions about the business of show. Please don't forget to subscribe and like wherever you get your podcasts. Now here's the host of Casting Actors Cast, Jeffrey Dreisbach.
Well, hello and welcome to today's episode of Casting Actors Cast. I'm Jeffrey Dreisbach, casting director with the McCorkle Group. How are you? Nice to have you here today. We're going to be talking about acting myths and mistakes for 2021 on today's episode. So stay tuned for that. This is that moment of the episode where I invite you to check out all the stuff that I have available for you absolutely free. All you need to do is go to the website, castingactorscast, all one word, .com. There you're going to find some additional information, but also if you fill out that form that says dive into the talent pool, that will open up another menu of some additional freebies. For example, a book that I wrote on voiceover work called Conversation Pieces Out of the Studio, the Voiceover Workshop for Professional Actors. It's a 100-page downloadable PDF, all free, just for you. Also, there is a private video called What Casting Directors Don't Want You to Know. It's a 20-minute video. It's a private YouTube video that you can get right there by clicking on that video. Also, I have some show notes that are corresponding to recent episodes. So if you need some additional information, if you kind of want some worksheets or some additional notes, these are the very notes that I use when I do my broadcasts, my patios. So you can have those notes and follow along. I think you might find them really helpful, actually, quite useful, I think. And then finally, this is that moment where I get to say thank you to my good friends at Actors Connection, actorsconnection.com/New York. It's a fantastic organization utilizing casting directors, agents, managers, professional actors, all working together to provide online training, online classes, seminars, workshops, all kinds of great offerings at Actors Connection. I love my association with those guys at Actors Connection. They actually promote this patio, these podcast videos, and I also get to be able to share how good they are as well. So that's our agreement, sort of a nice reciprocity. Ooh, good word. How did that just manifest itself? Okay, so let's jump into the subject at hand. These are myths that I've heard over the years and common questions, and actually they're mistakes, and they can kind of be detrimental because they'll put actors in a negative place, in a negative space. So acting myth number one. The actor says, I didn't get a call back, so that means the casting director will not think of me for future projects. Or, similarly, my audition went so badly, I just ruined it for that casting director. Does that sound familiar? Have you had that experience? If you haven't, maybe that's something you might experience in the future. For example, if you're in BFA or MFA training program, maybe you haven't had enough professional audition experience to have that feeling. Although you might have had that feeling in college. I know I certainly did. Here's the reality. Any casting director worth their salt understands actors, knows, and is familiar with the actor's process. So a single bad audition, you know, it's just that. It's a moment in time. We wouldn't bring you into an audition if we didn't think that you were able to book the job. And that's the best way to think of it. Now, if you're new into going into that casting director, how did that audition come about? Maybe a new agent or a representative kind of said, gosh, would you please see my client? And I would say yes. And then the client would come in. Guess what? That agent or manager is going to call me and ask, how did they do? Happens all the time. So The mistake is in thinking and getting into our heads about how you did. You know, for me, I can tell you that when I am focused on a specific project, I have these parameters in my head. And that is kind of like a laser focus for me. And so I do not ever just completely dismiss an actor or say to myself, oh, I'm never bringing that actor in again. That does not occur. Certainly, consistently poor auditions where you're not prepared or you're overly nervous to the point where it's hard to kind of get a sense of how you're going to play the part. That happening over a series of times, yeah, that might be problematic. But for you to make that assumption after a first audition that doesn't go that well or because you didn't get a callback, please do not draw conclusions from that. This is a business, and my job depends on your talent. So I want you to be great, and don't draw those kinds of conclusions. It's a waste of time and a waste of energy. I promise. So let's now take a look at acting myth number two. The actor says, even after I've done everything I can to get an agent, they don't seem to be interested in me. Does that sound familiar? Well, it might, especially during this particular time that we're in. Let me answer that by saying, first and foremost, how are you developing relationships with agents? If you need or want to have representation, how are you going about that? Right now, I have to say, it's a very, very challenging time. Now, that's not to dismiss your good efforts. But it is to say that this is a weird-ass time, guys. It really is. And many times, actors aren't aware of what's happening behind the scenes in some of these agencies. And I can tell you, like popcorn in the microwave, these agencies are moving, they're closing down, they're switching to other agencies, they're developing new agencies. There's just all kinds of activity taking place right now. And guess what? That's leaving you out of the mix for the moment. So just because it's not happening right away for you, just because you're finding it difficult to get an agent, two train of thoughts are helpful here. One is having a systematic approach to the kind of agent that you're interested in and that you're looking for. And by the way, check out relatively recent episodes about agents and managers that I have. I'm going to put a link in the patio, in the video, so you can click on that after we're done today so that you can really start thinking about how to specifically look at best ways to get representation. So please be careful about drawing conclusions about an agent's lack of interest in you, because there are circumstances and situations that are beyond your purview. Ooh, good word. Beyond your scope. Just make it systematic for yourself and let the outcome evolve the way it is supposed to. I'm a firm believer that as long as you're putting that energy out into the ether, as far as representation is concerned, the right thing is going to happen. But, you know, this is a particularly challenging time. So give yourself a break, but do the work that you can and understand what you have control over versus what you don't have control over. Okay, acting myth number three. If I haven't booked a job, that means I must be a bad actor. Now, why do we do that to ourselves, right? I mean, I can tell you that I acted professionally for 20 years before I became a casting director. I left acting at a really great time in my career. In other words, I'm not one of those bitter actors who didn't do well and then still stayed in the business by becoming a casting director. Now, there are some of those casting directors out there. I know I am not one of those guys. I did really well. I had a really great time. But my story is just unique to me. It's a different story. But I can remember distinctly thinking that during those dry periods when I was auditioning and auditioning and auditioning and no callbacks, nothing kind of happening, I just decided, you know what? I just think that this isn't for me. And you know what? I failed to realize that a bad audition is a moment in time. A bunch of bad auditions, guess what? Just a bunch of moments in time. It's not an accumulative effect. It really isn't. Each audition is a unique opportunity to show somebody how you're going to play the part. The next audition is exactly the same thing. It's not like people are talking about your auditions all the way down the line, and now the word is out. You must approach every job as a unique opportunity. And for you to tell yourself that you're a bad actor is just, again, complete waste of energy and a total mistake. If you're feeling, for example, that things aren't going well and you're not feeling really good about your choices, well, that's a little bit different, isn't it? That means that you might want to consider taking some classes, brushing up on a specific skill set. Maybe you don't audition well. Well, you know what? It might be a great idea to think about audition workshops so that you feel more comfortable and more confident in that environment. I invite you to listen to some of these podcasts because I think I give really, really good advice about how to approach the work so that you feel more confident and more comfortable. So we've now just talked about those are the acting myths. Now let's talk about acting mistakes. Acting mistake number one, and of course these are not in any particular order, but acting mistake number one, this is a biggie. Listening to too many opinions about your work. It's really hard sometimes. Actors are dependent on the feedback that we get, the feedback that we get in class, the feedback that we get from our agents after we've auditioned and the agents talk to the casting director. Sometimes we don't get any feedback at all, which is really, really frustrating. But when we start listening to too many people in terms of soliciting opinions about our work, that's the time to stop and really assess who are you asking for that opinion. Is it somebody that you trust? Is it somebody that gives you the straight poop? Not just what you want to hear, but maybe giving you positive yet constructive feedback. That is a really useful friend. Now, it could be in the form of a teacher. It could be the form of a coach. It could be a peer. But please be careful about listening to too many opinions, because that can just muddy some waters and take you really off your game. So be careful about that. Acting mistake number two, deciding that you don't need classes anymore. Now, I can relate to this as well as an actor. There was a period of time when I went to the best acting teachers. I spent a ton of money. And after that was over, I decided to say to myself, I'm ready. Well, here's what actually happened. I had signed up for a very, very well-known acting class in New York, a very famous person, and I put my money down and I attended maybe three or four classes before I booked a job. Now, that job took me out of town. And guess what? This acting teacher said to me, well, you still need to hold your spot in class, so you still need to pay us. I was like, you know, something about that seems weird. I mean, I'm taking acting classes so that I can book work, and I've booked a job, and now you're asking me to pay for the space in the class. It just wasn't something that I, frankly, responded to really, really well. It made a different kind of a statement to me. Now, we could argue whether or not that's a legitimate thing to ask for. Certainly, acting teachers need to maintain their, you know, if that's all that they do, their level of income, et cetera, et cetera. I get that. But on the other hand, if this acting teacher is in demand, maybe a space opens up for another opportunity for another actor. So it kind of didn't make sense to me. So just don't make that mistake that you don't need classes anymore. Please think in terms of classes as not being like you're in school. Being in classes means that you're in a professional arena working with professionals in between jobs so that you can grow and develop your skill set. Acting mistake number three. Now that I have an agent, I can sit back and I can just simply wait for those appointments to happen. You know, the reason I'm bringing up these myths and mistakes is because I did every one of them. As soon as I got an agent, it was like, whew, now I don't have to go to those EPAs anymore. I don't have to stand in line. I don't have to show up for these auditions on my own. Guess what, guys? I've got news for you. It's at that moment when you sign with an agent that the work is just beginning. In terms of classes, in terms of getting work on your own, putting yourself out there. The agent is not your, I don't know, what do I want to say? Not your knight in shining armor fighting the battles for you and getting you out there. They are trying to capitalize on your talent so that they can make money for the agency and themselves. That's their job. That makes sense. But that doesn't mean you should stop developing relationships with casting directors, with producers, with directors, people in the industry. What about your peers? So acting classes can do that. But to think or feel that you can relax now that you have an agent is absolutely a huge trap and a bad, bad place to be. So don't do that. If you are in training or newly joining the profession, I would like you to be in it for the long haul. Now, I think it's really trite to say that it's really a marathon and not a sprint, but you know what? There's something true to that. There's something truthful about that. So it's important to keep your head in check and your heart in perspective. Yes, you are an artist. Understand that. I get that. But you're also a business person. You're also the CEO of your own company. So removing those myths and mistakes from your vocabulary, I would suggest to you that that is probably the single most helpful positive thing that you can do for yourself starting right now. So start off 2021 with a really good action plan that does not involve any of those myths and mistakes. Now, you might want to go back and listen to this podcast again, or maybe if you're listening on the podcast, you may want to watch it on video because, you know, there's maybe some body language there or something, more information you're getting by watching me doing this. But I found that a clear plan of action and moving away from the myths and the mistakes, that can save you so much time, so much energy, and believe me, I've experienced this, so much frustration on the day-to-day. So start off the new year on a good foot. Now, a final note is I'd love for you to check out some previous episodes of the podcast. Please also do me a huge favor. If you got some useful information today, if this was helpful to you, do me a favor. Leave a review, especially on Apple Podcasts, by the way. I'm also excited because I am on several podcast providers now. I'm really excited because I'm also on Pandora. So I've been approved for Pandora. So I'm getting heard by many, many, many more actors. Also, if you could do me the favor of letting some other people know about the podcast, maybe you've got some actor friends that would benefit from this. I know a lot of you are teachers out there because I get your emails. So please, why don't you share this with your students? There might be some helpful information, maybe some additional information that you're not able to cover in your classes. All of that to say, the more that we can build this amazing community of talent, the better off we're all going to be, and the better our prospects for the future. Thanks for listening and joining us on today's episode of Casting Actors Cast.
Casting Actors Cast is made possible with your support. Just by listening. Please like, share, and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Caitlin Clark.